Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us. We ought to get excited about being saved. As we read our text this morning, I think we ought to get excited about what we're going to miss. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, and may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to preach this morning on the reality of hell. The reality of hell. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that's taken place. Every song that's been sung, Lord, our hearts have been stirred and encouraged. Lord, we sensed your presence in this place. Lord, as we preach on something that's not popular, not heard very much about, Lord, I recognize I need you. And I can't do this on my own. I need thy strength and thy power. I pray, Lord, that we'll have an understanding, a greater understanding of thee and of your love for us, your mercy, but Lord, also of your judgment as we come to the close of this service. Lord, when the time of invitation comes, I pray that we'd be obedient unto thee. And then when all is said and done, I pray that all that you would have accomplished in this service will be accomplished. And we'll give you the glory, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When I look in the Bible, I see the beauty of heaven. There's no doubt, I don't think that we can gather in our finite minds how wonderful and glorious heaven's going to be. We read in the book of the Revelation about walls of jasper, street of gold, gates of pearl, crystal river. We understand that heaven's a beautiful place. And heaven's a place that's been prepared for all of those that put their faith and trust in the Lord. It's a place that's that God's been working on, that the Lord Jesus has been working on for 2,000 years. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I realize that heaven's a beautiful place and a wonderful place and a place where every one of us would want to live. But just as sure as God is preparing a place called heaven, He's also prepared a place called hell. It's a real place. It's a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about, preachers don't like to preach on. Undoubtedly, it's not a popular topic and people don't want to hear about it. So many pulpits have gone silent on this matter. And while it's not something that I enjoy talking about, or it's not even something I enjoy preaching about, it's something that the Bible tells us that we have to warn people about. The Bible teaches us about certain things. I think it's our responsibility to understand it. Hell's not a place of fairy tales. And Satan's not some little red man walking around with a pointed tail and a pitchfork in his hand. We need to realize that he's real. Satan is real, and hell is real. And we need to do our best to keep everybody that we possibly can out of that place called hell. I'll never forget, I was saved the year 1985, and around the time I was saved, in all the papers, you know, they had these syndicated cartoons. And one of the cartoons, it had a mother going in and talking to the son and saying to the son, let's get up and go to church today. And the son looked and said, I'm mad at God because he took my daddy away. His daddy apparently had died. And the mother said, well, let's get up and go to church, because if you don't go to church, you go to hell. Now we realize going to church is not going to church is not going to take you to hell. It's not believing Christ. But to get the gist of this. And the little boy mockingly said, I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to go to hell just like my dad. And I thought, they're making fun and mocking a place that's real. And people don't think that there is a hell that's real, and preachers are out there and they'll say something about God is just a God of love and He would never send anybody to hell. And I want you to understand this. God does not send people to hell. People choose to go to that terrible place. As a matter of fact, God loved you so much that He sent His Son into the world so that you would not have to go to that terrible place. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and He rose again. And the Bible said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven is real and hell is real. And I want us to look this morning as we think about the reality of hell. I want us to see some things that will not be in that terrible place. First thing I want you to see, maybe you're writing it down, there'll be no rest in hell. There'll be no rest in hell. The Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Talking to believers, you have rest in the Lord. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Here it is, it's us and them. Us are the believers, them are the unbelievers. Taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, what verse number 9 says. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You know what the Bible's saying here? That there is rest for the believer, but there is no rest in hell for the unbeliever. The Bible says that when the Lord comes and people are cast into that lake of fire for time and for eternity, that He is going to take vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of God, and they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. When the Bible says that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, that word perish means an eternal separation from God. I will never be eternally separated from God. because I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those that do not trust Christ as their Savior, there is an everlasting destruction and there is an everlasting separation from God. And once you're there, dear friends, once you're in that terrible place called hell, there will be no rest in hell. We must understand it's a real place. And it's a place that we want no one to go to. It's a place that we ought to give our lives to keep people out of there. It's a place of pure destruction. It's a place where God takes out His vengeance on an unbelieving world. There'll be no rest in hell. Then I want you to see, secondly, there'll be no relationships in hell. You know, we find in Luke where the rich man said, he said, I want you to send somebody to my father's house. I have five brethren. He can testify to them. They also come, or they'll come into this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He got to this place, and of course we understand that this wasn't this everlasting lake of fire. That day's coming at this second resurrection. You understand later on. They're in a place now that's a terrible place. People that die without the Lord, they're in a terrible place called hell. But there is a place coming that's even worse. They're facing things even worse. But once somebody dies, you know, we have a lot of questions about what will our relationships be in heaven. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says you'll be known as you're known. In other words, I believe I'll know who people are in my relationship to them here. But those relationships that we need so much here won't be so needed over there in heaven. You understand? I won't need the relationship of my beautiful, wonderful wife when I'm there because all's perfect and all's wonderful. I'll know she is my wife, but we won't need that kind of a relationship that we have here because we'll be perfect in heaven. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you know, I don't think we can fathom it. But once we get there, we'll like it. I can't imagine my wife not being my wife. But I can imagine being in heaven and being with her for time and eternity and having the joys of heaven. But just think, as wonderful as heaven's going to be, with understanding of relationships in hell, there'll be no relationships. And even if there is, you won't have time for that. You understand that hell's real? I've read so many things and I read so many, you know, things in the paper, and people mock hell. And people laugh about it. But hell's a real place. And we need to understand that there'll be no relationships there. In hell, as far as anything would matter, there'll be no relationships. And I think we need to understand that. We need to tell people. You know, I was thinking about that little cartoon. I'm going to go to hell just like my dad. But when he gets there, his dad won't be his dad. He's just going to be chained in hell forever. And he too will be there. Think about it. There'll be no rest in hell. There'll be no relationships in hell. The third thing I want you to see, there'll be no repentance in hell. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24 of our text. The Bible says, talking about the rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He was crying. He said, I'm ready to change now. I'm ready to believe now. Have mercy on me. And his cries will go unheard and unfounded, because once you're there, it's too late. There's no turning back. There's no turning around. People will be repenting. They'll be crying out for mercy. They'll say, I'm ready to change now. I'm ready to be different now. I'm ready. Please, God, have mercy. But it'll be too late, because they mocked, they made fun, and they rejected Christ all the days of their life. And in hell, they'll be crying out for mercy. But they pushed mercy aside while they were here. They want nothing to do with the grace and the mercy of God now. But when they get there, they'll beg and they'll plead. And they'll say, how could a loving God, I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. A loving God has put so many things in the way. Put conscience in the way. Put creation in the way. He's put the church in the way. He's put the prayers of people in the way. He's put you in the way. He's put me in the way. He's put so many things in the way of people dying and going to hell. And they stepped over all of it and said, I don't want to hear it. And I do not care. Once you get there, it'll be too late. Hell's real. There's no repentance in hell. There's no relationships in hell. There's no rest in hell. I want you to see, fourthly, there'll be no response in hell. The Bible said in verse number 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. Now he's comforted, thou art tormented. I'll talk a little bit more about what he was requesting in just a moment. But he's asking for a response from God. Just as he cried out in repentance, there'll be no response in hell for the cries of mercy, for the cries of relief. When we think about it, I think we ought to realize that as wonderful as heaven's going to be, that's how terrible hell's going to be. When we think about this point of the rich man saying to Abraham, I want you to have mercy on me. And Abraham is not going to respond in the way. Now, you may cry out, but you're going to be reminded through all of eternity of your rejection of Christ. The fifth thing I want you to see is there'll be no relief in hell. Verse 24, the Bible says, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. In hell, you'll be crying out for relief. You'll be crying, oh God, I can't stand it any longer. Could somebody just take and put their finger down in a cup of water and let their finger touch my tongue? The flame is so hot and I can't get away. And he'll be crying, oh God, send some relief. Send some relief. Just a drop of water. Be no relief. They rejected Christ. They played church. They acted like they were something that they were not. And then the end of their days come, and in hell they lift up their eyes, and once they're there, there's no return. You can sit on a church pew. You can play games. You can say that you're something. But you know in your heart today if you really have a relationship with Christ or not. You know today if you did something just to please somebody else, or if you truly put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I want to remind you, dear friend, that your eternity depends on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you trusted Christ and Christ alone. Your salvation. The rich man's in hell, and he says to Abraham, let Lazarus take his finger and dip it in water and let that one little drop, it would feel so good. You see that drop? One little drop, and he said, it would be a relief. But there is no relief in hell. It's a place that's real. And God didn't prepare that place for you. He prepared that for Satan and all of his angels. But when you choose to follow Satan instead of the Savior, then, dear friends, you're going to follow him right straight to a place called hell. There'll be no relationships there. There'll be no rest there. There'll be no repentance in hell. There'll be no response in hell. There'll be no relief in hell. I want you to know hell is a real place. It's not a fairy tale. It's not fiction. It's real, and the Bible says it's real. This isn't some fable that we're reading. This isn't some parable. Some people say it's the parable of rich man and Lazarus, but God never uses names when it's a parable. This is a real story about a real place, about a real event. There'll be no relief in hell. So if you've written it down, you've written down there's no rest in hell. You've written down there's no relationships in hell. You've written down that there's no repentance in hell. You've written down that there's no response in hell. Another thing, there's no respect in hell. As you're there tormented in those flames, I want you to know there'll be no respect. People's not going to move out of your way to try to let you get by. I don't know what it's going to be like. And thank God I'll never know. But they won't respect you or anything about you. You've written down that there'll be no relief in hell. But then finally this morning, I want you to know there'll be no redeemed in hell. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ took our curse upon himself. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose the third day, bringing victory to whosoever believeth in him. There is no redeemed in hell. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have not only the hope of heaven, you have the promise and the assurance of heaven. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish. The Bible says, him that calleth upon me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible teaches us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says Jesus Christ paid for our sin debt. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Why did he do that? Because he became our curse so that we could be redeemed. He created us, and then he paid the price to redeem us back to himself. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? When I preach on hell, I realize how difficult it is. You don't know the battles I go through when I know I'm going to be preaching on this. You don't know the fights. You don't know the physical feelings that this body goes through, because Satan does not want you to hear the truth about hell. But Jesus, in his word, says there's a place called hell. And it's just as real as heaven's real. And it's for all of those that reject Christ as Savior. You can have your name written on the membership roll of East Live New Baptist Church and die and go to hell. Because it's not about being a church member. By the way, we ask you before you become a member of this church, have you trusted Christ? You know, you can't be a part of this church unless you've given a good profession of faith. But having your name written on the roll is not going to get you there. Being baptized is not going to get you to heaven. It's trust in Christ and Christ alone. There's no escape for hell other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. Every sin debt that was ever owed, Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And the way you die and go to hell is by rejecting what Jesus did just for you. Hell's real. Heaven's real. Where are you going? I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I'm perfect, but because there was a day in my life where I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. It happened several years ago. But God's work can never be undone. I'm saved, settled, and I'm secure. How about you? We could get into more things about hell, but I think you get the picture. And I think you understand it's a real place. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to be? You say, well, preacher, I'll just put it off. You know, I'll wait till a better day, a better time. That's what Felix said standing before Paul. He said, I want to wait for a more convenient season. The most convenient time for you to trust Christ is right now. Proverbs 27:1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of a tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may not be alive tomorrow. But if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, then right now's the time. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you that we're all sinners. Jesus died for our sin. And if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you. We'll show you what the Bible says about it. If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm saved. It's settled. What are you doing in keeping others away from there? When's the last time you spoke to somebody about their eternal soul? And warned them of a place so horrible and so terrible. And by the way, the Bible says more about hell than it does about heaven. It's a real place. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, and we're going to give an account of what we've done. How have we done in keeping people out of hell? If Jesus were to come today, are you going to go with Him? Or are you going to be left behind? If death were to come today, is it heaven or is it hell? You tell me. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace. And we thank You, Lord, for that place called heaven that You are preparing for those of us that trust You. Lord, this morning as we consider the seriousness of this terrible place called hell and the reality of it, I pray if there be one here today that's never put their faith and trust in You as Savior, that this day would be the day that they said, I'm tired of worrying about the future, and Lord, that they'll by faith trust Jesus. And for those of us that are saved, help us to realize our responsibility to warn others. I know we can't save anybody, Lord, but we can sure tell them about how You love them and how You died for them and how they can put their faith in You. Lord, help us to be faithful and help us to do Your will. Have Your way in this time of invitation. May we be obedient. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed.